Welcome to the Revenue Builders Podcast with John McMahon and John Kaplan. This podcast is brought to you by Force Management. Force's solutions help companies, small teams, and individuals accelerate sales performance. Be sure to check out their online platform, Ascender. Today, we bring you a short segment on decision criteria. Force Management's Ann Gary joins the team as they break down the nuances of nailing the decision criteria and aligning it to your differentiation.
Yeah, but you can ask them a question also, Cap, because a lot of times what happens is the competition knows that you have an advantage over them. So they start copying your terminology.
Yep.
But to your point, how it's done is completely different than the way in which you do it. So when you hear that the customer is using the same terminology because maybe your competitor was in an account before you, you can ask them, well, tell me what you mean by X or Y or Z, and you'll find out that it's something completely different than the way you define that terminology.
Yep.
And you have to make that clear distinction.
I think another thing on that point, though, is when the competition asks or actually inserts the criteria, I also want to know who within the company I'm calling on was listening to the competition, decided to insert the criteria, right? So it helps you understand the political landscape as well. Of who has influence within the company to get that done.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk about that in depth a little bit later. Yep. Yeah.
For sure. So I mean, this all makes sense, obviously. I think that the big thing is if the criteria is specifically set to your product differentiators, then the customer is actually buying what you're selling. And I think, you know, John Kapp said a lot about, you know, it doesn't have value to them. So, you know, you're going to be inside that bullseye that we were talking about a little earlier. But the opposite can be true. And I've seen plenty of situations where there's a lot of criteria. It's not in the bullseye, right? It's not force ranked. I'll say that too, in terms of what's most important to the client actually is what you actually can deliver. And so what you find out is that you're outside of the bullseye, right? And you have to be honest with yourself to know that so that you can go back and influence that criteria. So if you're outside the bullseye, they're not buying what you're selling. And we need to make
for each element that's outside your bullseye, your chances of losing increase.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think those are great points. And that, you know, just to summarize, if we can't align our key product differentiators to the customer's pain points, then we know, as you said, they're not buying what we're selling.
Right. There's so many opportunity coaching sessions that I've been involved with where we're discussing the decision criteria and a technical validation event, like a POC or POV or even trials, you know, for that matter. And in many cases, the decision criteria is just not formally defined. And that's what I'm talking about. Formally defining it, writing it down, force ranking it, making sure everybody understands it. Because if it's been defined and there's no quantification of what's being measured, then that's another problem we're going to run into, right? We're going to have decision criteria. We're not going to know how they're measuring it, and they're not going to hold us accountable, you know, from A to B kind of vendor in the situation. So I think, Cap, what's been your experience with this?
Well, I think we've all seen technical validation events executed without the criteria formalized and documented. And we know that that can cause major issues in the sales campaign. So I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. So first, if there's no criteria, how do you know what criteria the solution is being measured against? And if you don't formalize and document the criteria, then you're being analyzed against an unknown or moving target. The second point is, if the customer only verbalizes the criteria without formalizing and documenting it, this could open the door for more players to become involved in the selling process, which is going to create scope creep. And then the last point is, changes to the criteria might be made by the competitor's champion, who may be stronger than your champion. And this can create criteria that's more favorable for the competition, which will result in you failing to win. I know we're going to dig into that a little bit.
We are, you know, one thing I'd really like to dig into is something you talked about, which is scope creep. I see this happen a lot in these proof of value, proof of concept situations. Can you dig into what you mean by scope creep?
Yeah, I think as we talk about, you know, more sellers entering the process, they all try to get their differentiators into the criteria. So that's what we're telling sellers to do. You influence your differentiation into the criteria and you have a better chance of winning. Well, every seller is trying to do that. So It's a seller's job to get the criteria to be, as you guys are calling it, in their bullseye, and then they can win. But, you know, if other sellers are allowed to expand the criteria outside of the bullseye, it introduces more risk of losing the deal, because now the customer may view other criteria as important. So any criteria that includes some of the bullseye, but also other parts of the dartboard, so to speak, puts us at risk of losing the deal. And what I mean by that is, when reps enter an account on day one, it's their job to enter the account with a compelling point of view. It shows they did their homework. So upon entering the account, we should be prepared to ask great discovery questions to identify and quantify pain, set traps that we talked about for the competition in order to establish an influence criteria that are both good for the customer, that's important, and more favorable for us, and make qualifying statements, as we always should do. Now, at the same time, we're looking to find coaches and champions to drive the conversation and criteria forward towards the bullseye.
This is a lot, but there's so many issues that result from not executing this portion of the sales process, right? I mean, if you don't do this with discipline and rigor, one of the most tragic ones we run into is if you execute the POV and you haven't locked all this down, the POV, you know, with the POV criteria, et cetera, and your solution is not selected. That is tragic. Why? Because it's nearly impossible to recover from a failed POV, because you cannot appeal to the key customer stakeholders of the economic buyer at that point. The evaluators can tell the economic buyer they've looked at your solution, they've evaluated it fairly against the, you know, the competition, and it simply did not meet the needs of the business. So you really set yourself up when you walk into these situations and you haven't defined this. And they can prove that they've actually done the POV and used the criteria in writing, which doesn't align with their key product differentiators.
Yeah, that's so true, Anne. If you complain after a failed POV, it sounds like sour grapes. I mean, you agreed to play the game, then you played the game according to the rules of the game, and you lost the game. So it's time for you to go home and lick your wounds and think about what you need to do to change in your next selling process. You know, I've had to make a number of these sales calls to the economic buyer after, you know, one of my reps lost the POV. And I can tell you, it sounds like you're disparaging the evaluation team, yeah, and you have no recourse. Again, you know, you agreed to the rules, you played by the same rules as everyone, and you lost. So even if you did it again and you appealed to the economic buyer and they were nice enough to say, let's do it again, by the same rules, you'd wind up losing again. That's why the first two stages of the sales process, discovery and scoping, you know, they're mission critical in setting the decision criteria.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the full episode on decision criteria. It's a good one. Make it a great week.